Turn this morning to the Gospel according to Matthew, chapter 14. Matthew 14, we begin reading at verse 15 and read to the end of the chapter. And when it was evening, his disciples came to him, saying, "This is a desert place, and the time is now past. Send the multitude away, that they may go into the villages and buy themselves victuals." But Jesus said unto them, "They need not depart, give ye them to eat." And they say unto him, "We have here but 5 loaves and 2 fishes. He said, "Bring them hither to me." And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass, and took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes, and looked up to heaven. He blessed and brake, and gave the loaves to his disciples, and the disciples to the multitude. And they did all eat, and were filled. And they took up the fragments that remained, 12 baskets full. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men, besides women and children. And straightway Jesus constrained his disciples to get into a ship and to go before him unto the other side, while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into a mountain apart to pray. And when the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And in the 4th watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway Jesus spake unto them, saying, "Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. Then they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, "Of a truth, thou art the Son of God." Now the last 3 verses are the text for the sermon this morning. And when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about, and brought unto him all that were diseased, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Thus far we read the scriptures this morning. Beloved congregation in the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior has the power to heal every physical earthly disease. And that's quite some power. He can heal every physical disease, and his earthly ministry proves that. Our Savior promises to no one that he will heal their earthly physical disease in this life, severe and even deadly though it may be. Through death and the resurrection into heaven, all physical earthly diseases will be healed by Jesus. He has the power to heal every physical disease, though he does not promise to us that he will in this life. Hopefully, that does not discourage the heart of anyone this morning, because Jesus can do something far greater. Jesus has the power to heal every spiritual disease of the soul that ruins the relationship with God and makes one worthy of everlasting damnation. He has that power, and he promises to all of his people that he will heal all of our spiritual diseases. Now, today, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Today, and thy soul shall be saved. During his earthly ministry, Jesus demonstrated his mercy and divine power in healing so many different people of their diseases. He caused the blind to see. He made the lepers whole. He caused the paralyzed to walk. Many, many healings, but those healings were miracles. They were what the Bible also calls signs. That is, they signified some deeper spiritual reality. There was more to the healing than what one could see with the eye, for Jesus was revealing his power to heal all spiritual diseases. Being healed of a physical disease is good. But it's not most important, because one can be healed of a physical disease and still go to hell. What good then was it? Being healed of a physical disease is good, but there's something far better, and that's being healed of the spiritual diseases of the soul. And that Jesus was revealing in all of his miracles. The text reveals his miraculous power. To Jesus came many in Gennesaret and the surrounding areas who were sick. They touched him, and he healed them. And this morning, to Jesus come many who are suffering from various spiritual diseases. And we expect Jesus to heal us. He will. He does. Let's consider the last three verses of Matthew 24 this morning under the theme, All the Sick Coming to Touch Jesus. Notice first their need, in the second place their faith, and then third their healing. There were many people in and around the area of Gennesaret who were diseased and needed Jesus. Gennesaret was one of the regions along the Sea of Galilee. It was located in the northwest. And Gennesaret was well known for its charming bays and fertile soil and beautiful plants and large fruits. It was a most desirable place to live and was densely populated. Imagine the real estate prices were very steep in Gennesaret. It was a fine place to live, and everyone knew that. But Gennesaret was not Eden. It, like all of its surrounding areas and all the regions of the world, whether they be the inner city slums or the wealthy seaside resorts, was subject to disease as a consequence of Adam's sin. And so even in Gennesaret, there were many diseased and sick folk who needed Jesus. Jesus came there one day. He had miraculously fed a crowd of 5,000 plus with a little bit of food. And then he told his disciples to get into the boat because they would go to another region along the Sea of Galilee. And then he went to pray. While the disciples are in the boat, a storm comes, they're afraid, and Jesus will come walking out to them. And you know how the story goes between Jesus and Peter. Jesus gets in the boat, and they come to shore in the region of Gennesaret. As soon as Jesus gets out of the boat and walks ashore, all of the men of the area immediately recognize him. They had heard of his miracles. They had seen what he had done before. They knew him. The text says, and when they were gone over, they came into the land of Gennesaret. And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased. Jesus is here. They see that immediately. Jesus is here. And so the men go into all the surrounding areas, into the villages and into the streets of the city and out into the countryside and all throughout Gennesaret, and they find the sick and the diseased to bring them to Jesus. The parallel passage in Mark chapter 6 informs us that some of these sick people came on beds. So the men go out and they find some paralyzed, they're lying down on a bed, or some people are so gravely ill they cannot move, they're lying in the bed, and these men, 2, 3, 4 men, pick up the bed and they walk perhaps miles to bring these people to Jesus. And here come the blind, they're being led by the hand, and the dumb and the deaf. And there are men and women and children with great deadly fevers, perhaps some lepers. All these sick people are being brought and they come to Jesus in Gennesaret. What an incredibly pitiful scene that must have been. Can you imagine the crowds now? All these sick people, how sobering. You want to see how bad Adam's sin was? Look. Adam's sin before everyone's eyes, sobering, people moaning and crying and weeping, people dying. And there they all were. They needed Jesus. In many ways, that scene is an accurate portrayal of the scene this morning in God's house. We live in the rich and luxurious land of the Gennesaret of God's covenant of grace as members of his church. We have all come from the surrounding areas, and all of us have one thing in common: our spiritual diseases. We all need Jesus. Some of us here this morning need him because of our physical diseases. We need his healing. We need his restorative power. And at the very least, we need what he does promise to give us, and that's a measure of sustaining grace for each day. All of us, though, need Jesus because of our spiritual diseases. By nature, we are lame and cannot walk in God's commandments. Now, it's true that Jesus, by his Spirit, has regenerated us, and made us alive, and given us saving faith so that we can walk in love for God, but not yet perfectly. We still suffer as those who are lame. So often we find ourselves deliberately and consciously walking in sin, walking in enmity with God, walking in enmity with the neighbor, walking in love for the world and all of the pleasures of it. That's the revelation of our spiritual disease. We're lame, yet lame. By nature, we're blind. And it's true, Jesus has healed us. He's regenerated us. He's made us alive so that we can see the kingdom of heaven. But we do not yet see all things perfectly. We still struggle to see. We may be blind to our own sin. We can see another's sin. We can see the sin of the world. But we're yet blind to some aspect of our own sin. We may be blinded to the truth of God's word in some respect. His calling to us out of the scriptures as to how we must live in our marriage, as to how we must treat our children and rear our children, as to how we must live as members of the body. He writes it in so large a letter, right in the scriptures, right in front of our very eyes. And sometimes we're blind to see it. We don't see him sometimes. We're on the lake and the winds are boisterous and we're living in doubts and fears because of our troubles and infirmities. And Jesus is right there, Almighty God of infinite power. He's right before us. And we don't see him. And we are anxious and we begin to sink. We don't see Jesus. We yet suffer from a spiritual blindness. We need him. By nature, we're so sick and diseased. We have a burning fever. And it's true, Jesus has healed us and saved us. But nevertheless, that fever sometimes reappears so that we burn. Maybe we did this week. We burn with an unholy anger. With an unholy jealousy or pride. We burn perhaps in discontentment. We burn with a love for money and pleasure. That's our spiritual fever. We all need Jesus. And the call of the Spirit has gone out into all the surrounding area and called us and brought us to Jesus this morning. Some of us came spiritually on beds. We're blind, we're lame, we're maimed. Some have leprosy, great fevers. We're sick spiritually. We need Jesus. Greater than the need of those in Gennesaret and its surrounding regions was their faith. Marvelous faith. That they had faith is proved by the fact that, according to verse 36, Jesus healed them, all those who touched him. They touched him in faith, and on account of that faith, Jesus healed them. What faith they had. It was, first of all, a need acknowledging faith. A need acknowledging faith. They knew that they needed Jesus. It's not so significant that the sick in Gennesaret needed Jesus. Every man needs Jesus. I need Jesus. You need Jesus. Every man, woman, and child you passed on the road to come to church this morning needs Jesus. Every king, prince, queen, and princess in the world needs Jesus. There's no human being on the face of the earth who does not need Jesus. Everyone needs Jesus. But it's altogether another matter to acknowledge. To acknowledge, I need Jesus. These people acknowledge that they needed Jesus. The men came running through the countryside and gathered them up, and there's no evidence in the text that the men had to coerce and they had to force and they had to drag people to come to Jesus. They went willingly. They wanted to come to Jesus because they acknowledged their need. They knew they needed him. That's faith. That's true faith, to acknowledge one's need for Jesus. Not everyone will. Jesus had recently fed 5,000 plus people with a few loaves and fishes. And John chapter 6 tells us that after he performed that miracle, the crowd listened to his instruction and understood that he would not be an earthly king as they desired. So they all turned and walked away from Jesus. We do not need Jesus. They left him. There was another region along the Sea of Galilee. It was called the country of the Gergesenes or the country of the Gadarenes. And the children remember this miracle from their school Bible lesson and from catechism, how Jesus went there. And there were those two men who were grievously tormented by these devils. And they were in all kinds of misery. And Jesus cast those devils out. And they went into the herd of swine. And that herd went running violently down the cliff. And they plunged into the water. And they all perished. And the farmers were watching. And they went into the city and they told all the people. And the whole city came out to Jesus. And in so many words they said, leave and don't ever come back. We do not need you. Astoundingly, it may very well be that not every sick person who was brought to Jesus in Gennesaret acknowledged that they needed Jesus. Verse 36 says, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. The text does not say, and as many as came were made perfectly whole, but as many as touched, which could leave the implication that not every person touched him, and it's very well possible not every person even wanted to touch him. Even among the sick who were gathered there, there may have been people who did not acknowledge their need for this carpenter's son, Jesus of Nazareth. But true faith always does. True faith acknowledges the need of Jesus. Though not all will today, not all will today, the vast majority of mankind will forsake God's church and the preaching of the holy gospel and say, I do not need Jesus. True faith does not merely come in the body to sit in a building on Sunday. True faith does not merely show up physically to the Lord's Supper. True faith, as it is found in my heart and in your heart, says and knows, I need Jesus. I need him because of my diseases. A need acknowledging faith. Secondly, they had a humble faith. That's indicated in the text by the fact that they only wanted to touch the hem of his garment. Verse 36, and besought him that they might only touch the hem of his garment. They were not superstitious Roman Catholics who viewed the hem of that garment like some old relic or like some bread and wine on a table that has magical power in itself. This is the revelation of their humility. The hem of the garment was the very bottom part of Jesus' robe. All of the fabric of Jesus' robe came to its end down at the bottom at the hem, the extremity. That's all they wanted to touch. They didn't need to touch him. They didn't need Jesus to touch them. They didn't want necessarily Jesus to look at them. They didn't even need to look at him. They didn't need to say something to Jesus. They didn't need Jesus to say something to them. They were so humble, they quietly went and wanted to reach down way at the bottom without perhaps Jesus even seeing them. All they wanted to do was just touch the hem of his garment. That's it. Because he's God. He's the everlasting God come down from heaven into our flesh. And I am a miserable, wretched, defiled sinner. I have no right to touch him in the humility of faith if I can just touch the hem of his garment. Their faith was a humble faith. And there are some so proud, they think Jesus looks for them and all their good works, and Jesus will then find them and seek them out and save them because he's looking at them and all of their good works. That's not true faith. True faith says, I'm nothing, absolutely nothing, if I could just touch the hem of his garment. I don't deserve one drop of his infinitely precious blood, but oh, that I might have just one drop. The humility of their faith. That's how we come this morning. Humble. In the third place, let's notice their confident faith. Need acknowledging. Humble, confident faith. That their faith was confident is brought out in verse 36. By the fact that they only wanted to touch the hem of his garment. They understood he's Almighty God in the flesh. He is overflowing with divine power. It is sufficient. It is sufficient to touch the hem of his garment. We don't have to touch his body. He doesn't have to talk to us. He is God of abundant might and power. All we must do is touch the extremity of his robe. That is the confidence of their faith in Jesus. True faith, therefore, doesn't doubt and question whether Jesus can heal me. My sin is so great, and I am so unworthy, and my offense is so wicked, and my iniquity so many, and look what I've done against God, and look at the poor, miserable, wretched condition in which I live as a sinner. I don't even know if Jesus could heal me. Does he have the power? That's not true faith. True faith says he is infinite in power. All I need to do is touch the hem of his garment. Confident faith. Fourth and finally, it was not only a need acknowledging faith and a humble faith and a confident faith, it was a determined faith. True faith is strong and determined in its pursuit of Jesus. Just considering the scene underscores that for us this morning. Verse 35 says, "And when the men of that place had knowledge of him, they sent out into all that country round about and brought unto him all that were diseased." The crowd must have been large. And they pressed and pressed and pressed. And if they were lying on beds, "Get me closer and closer." And through the crowd, they pressed to touch him. The determination of their faith to press through the crowds to get to Jesus. That is the faith of all God's people, a faith which includes determination so that we press vigorously through all of the sins and iniquities of Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday. We press through Friday and all of the offenses of Saturday and press to come to Jesus on Sunday morning in his house, in the gospel and in the sacrament. By faith, we are determined to touch him. True faith is a determined faith. Sometimes God uses others too, doesn't he? He used the men to go out and gather and bring. Sometimes he uses others. Maybe our faith is not as determined as it ought to be, and there's another to admonish us or others to encourage us. Others, come to Jesus. Beloved, we have sorely and grievously misinterpreted and misunderstood the entire text if we see Jesus in this text merely as one standing there in Gennesaret just waiting and waiting for all of these people, these sick and diseased folk, to come and touch him. And then he will reveal his divine power in healing them. That's the grievous misunderstanding of so many in contemporary Christianity, that Jesus just stands there and waits for the sinner to exercise his free will and come to Jesus. And then Jesus will show himself to be the Savior and he will heal the disease and everyone will say, "My, what a mighty Savior. He healed the sick." It is because of Jesus that they came in the first place. Their faith is to be explained by Jesus. Hebrews 12, verse 2 says, "We look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith." Jesus is not only the finisher of our faith, so that we come to him diseased and he heals us and perfects us and brings us to heaven. The finisher of our faith. Jesus is the author of our faith, the crucified and resurrected Lord Jesus Christ. Like most men, we will never acknowledge Jesus unless he authors a need acknowledging faith in us. Like most men who are proud, we will never come to Jesus willing to touch the hem of his garment unless he first authors a humble faith in us. Like most men, we will never be confident in Jesus, but we will doubt him and deny him and question him unless he first authors in us a confident faith. Like most men, we will not come to Jesus at all, and we will certainly never press toward him unless Jesus first authors a determined faith in us. It is on account of Jesus authoring faith in them, in us, that we come to him this morning. And coming to him, of course, he will finish. He will heal. He healed them. And they besought him that he might only touch the hem of his garment. And as many as touched were made perfectly whole. What a sobering scene as they all came. Now watch them leave. That paralyzed man is carrying his bed home. That blind man is walking home saying, I heard you speak of it, but I never knew Gennesaret was so lovely. Now I see. The dumb were talking to each other on the way home. The deaf were listening. The men and women and children who came with fevers, perhaps even on beds, they were jumping and leaping and praising all the way home. The lepers were made whole. What a scene. Look at what has happened because of Adam, but look at what happens because of Jesus Christ. They walked home saved. Saved. Jesus did not merely heal their physical disease, he saved them. That's confirmed by the parallel passage in Mark 6, verse 56, which states, as many as touched him were made whole. And that word whole is a different word than the word whole in the text. It literally means saved. As many as touched him were saved. He saved them. We have come this morning diseased and weak in ourselves. Having examined ourselves, we've seen all of our infirmities, but we believe the word of the gospel and the sacrament, the sacramental word this morning, by faith, and we receive the healing of Jesus. We walked, perhaps, in hatred for God and our neighbor, and he forgives us. We didn't see our own sin as we ought to have. We didn't see Jesus and take comfort as we ought to have. He forgives us. God does. Maybe we burned in pride and anger and jealousy. God forgives us for Jesus' sake. And now he sends us home. He will healed, saved, made whole, so that we will walk in love for God and our neighbor. So that we will see the beauties of God's covenant and the glory of the spiritual Gennesaret and Jesus our Savior having confidence in him. And we will burn now, leaving this place, not with any kind of sin, but in love for God and for the glory of his name, for Jesus has healed us. He does. That's his promise. He heals all of us who believe. No one here is too ill for Jesus. Jesus will not say to any believer this morning, I'm sorry. My blood washes away most sins, but it cannot wash away your sin. There's no sickness Jesus cannot heal. There's no sin that cannot be covered in his blood. The text says, and as many as touched were made perfectly whole. Touch him, and you shall be saved. But do understand, that's not because of the power of our finger or the power of his garment, mere fabric, or the power of a piece of bread or some wine in a glass, or even because of some power we have in ourselves. It is because of him and who he is standing there, more lovely than the loveliness of Gennesaret itself. He is God in the flesh, crucified and risen from the dead for us. Our healing is not in anything. Our healing is in someone. Jesus, God's Son, our Savior. Amen. Let us pray. Father, for Jesus' sake, forgive us of all of our sins and heal us of all of our diseases. Amen.